God is going to bring together all the many components into a unity under one person's jurisdiction, and that person is Jesus Christ.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The scripture teaches that believers are people who have been given all kinds of wonderful things. In fact, it's impossible to catalog all the things that we've been given. So Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 to 10, and we could go further in the narrative, but we don't have time. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 to 10, shares with us some of God's great gifts, which are ours through Jesus Christ. And they're something that we ought to focus upon, remind ourselves of from time to time, and thank God for, rejoice in. There are three of God's great gifts unfolded in this passage. Number one is emancipation, first part of verse 7. To be emancipated means to be set free. Paul wants us to know that Jesus Christ is the greatest liberator in the universe. Paul says there's cancellation. He says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that word forgiveness means the cancellation of a debt. And then, when we've experienced God's emancipation and cancellation, then we need information so we can continue growing and maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul says God gives to us. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, gives us information. Those are the three great gifts that God gives to us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. Emancipation, cancellation, information. All of them profound in their effect, and all of them of great beneficent value to the people of God and to anyone who lay claim to them by faith. Now let's look at them for just a moment. First of all, there's emancipation. You notice Paul says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The redemptive concept is a very precious concept. Men need emancipation from the vice grip of sin. They need an act of power which will extricate them from sin's corrupting influence. And that is precisely what Jesus Christ brought in redemption. That's precisely what he gives to us in the truest, in the deepest, and in the most profound sense. Christians are those who have been emancipated. They've been liberated. They've been ransomed and rescued through the awesome expenditure of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through his blood. That's the first great gift, emancipation. We need to be reminded of it. That's what we have. That's what we are. We are emancipated through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a second gift that Paul deals with here, and he says there's cancellation. Do you notice? The forgiveness of sins. He kind of expands the concept, carries it a little further, gives us an added insight. Not only is there emancipation, there is cancellation. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Paul argues that as the result of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, we can now possess not only emancipation from the grip of sin, but also cancellation of the guilt of sin. Sin's power and sin's penalty can be conquered by Christ. And that's the very meaning of that word, forgiveness. Because he came, because he died, because he rose again, sinful men have discovered and drawn upon the riches of God's grace manifested supremely in the gift of forgiveness. Our gifts are growing. Paul says there is emancipation. And then he says there is cancellation. And then thirdly, he says in verses 8 to 10, I want you to see it with me as we unfold these three verses as quickly as we can. There is information. When a man has once experienced emancipation from the grip of sins, and when that's been followed up by cancellation of the guilt of sin, at that point, he needs an immediate access to a continuing and growing body of information so that he might be free on a daily basis from what we'll call the guile, the deceitfulness, the falsehood of sin. So Paul unfolds for us some insights into this information that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think there are three thoughts in verses 8 to 10. Let me share them with you quickly. The first thing I see there is the exercise. It's verse 9. Paul says quite plainly that God made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's a divine exercise. And the second thing I see is the effect of that. What's the effect of it? You have to back up to verse 8 to see the effect. Having made known the mystery of his will, Paul says in verse 9, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 8, the effect of the revelation of this mystery, which he identifies in verse 10, and we'll look at in just a moment as we close. The effect of the revelation of this mystery is an abundance of two things, just what we need in our day and age, wisdom and prudence. There's never been a day when we had a more desperate and critical need for wisdom and prudence than our day and age. And I want to tell you, the only place you'll find it is in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Word of God, wisdom and prudence. Paul's word abounded there. You notice he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And Paul's word abounded is expressive of the superabundance of God's giving. Superabundance of God's giving. It describes the overflow of a fountain. Parasuo is the word. It describes the overflowing of a fountain is from a deep and abundant source. And Paul means for us to understand what I've said on so many other occasions. God always enriches, he never impoverishes. He always gives and he gives abundantly. I am come that you might have life, Jesus said, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the kind of life he intends to give to us. More precisely, Paul says, God has enriched us with two things. What are they? Do you notice? They're wisdom and prudence. What is wisdom? Sophia is the word wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge of the precious things. Prudence is knowledge of the practical things. Wisdom is the ability to perceive truth as God perceives it. Wisdom is the capacity to see the great ultimate truths of eternity. Wisdom enables a man to see the things of time from the critical perspective of eternity. It is sacred sense. Wisdom teaches a man never to make a move apart from a consideration of the eternal principles revealed in Christ and his word. That's what God gives to us. That's a precious gift. That's precisely what we need in our day and age. You know, the humblest saint of God has more wisdom and more insight and more practicality about his life than the most powerfully educated, intellectually elite individual in the world, because he knows Jesus Christ, who's the very source and personification of wisdom. He gives to us wisdom, and he gives to us prudence. Phronese is the word. Wisdom is knowledge of the precious things. Prudence is knowledge of the practical things. Prudence is moral sensibility. Prudence is moral sensibility, the disposition of the mind which enables a man to judge what ought to be done and what ought not to be done in a real-life situation. Prudence is the capacity to take the great eternal principles revealed in Christ and his word and apply them in solving the practical problems of everyday life. It's sound sense. So what is Paul saying to us? Paul says God dispels our impotence by emancipation. He sets us free from the grip of sin. And then he says, God dispels our iniquity by cancellation. He sets us free from the guilt of sin. And then he says, God dispels our ignorance by information. He sets us free from the guile of sin. In superabundant fashion, he gives to us wisdom and prudence as he unfolds to us the mystery of his will. Well, what is the mystery of his will? Let me close with verse 10. What is the mystery of his will that excites us and instructs us and motivates us and helps us to tap into wisdom and prudence? What is that light which God has given to Christians, which other men do not know, and which we have the responsibility to share with them? He tells us in verse 10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Right at the heart of that verse is a phrase, gather together in one all things in Christ. And in particular, those four words, gather together in one. I'm talking to you now about the essence of this mystery. I've given you the exercise. I've given you the effect. Now here's the essence of the mystery, verse 10. The concept is reflected in that phrase, gather together in one. All things in Christ. That is the goal of history. God is going to make Jesus Christ the center of the universe. And that's why he ought to be the center of our lives. God has a great eschatological purpose, a purpose for the end of the age. God has a great eschatological purpose. He's going to make Jesus Christ the center of the universe. He has a great personal purpose for every one of us. He ought to be the center of our lives. When he makes Jesus Christ the center of the universe, the effect will be that disunity and contention will be replaced with unity and peace. Paul's phrase, let me talk to you about it for just a moment. Paul's phrase, gather together in one. It's four words in English. It's one word in Greek. Anakephaliao. That's the word. It's a big word. Anakephaliao. It's a very beautiful word. It's three or four parts to it, all put together. Paul coins a lot of these phrases, I think. It's a word which is rich in significance and allusion. In the simplest sense, that word, which is translated, gather together in one, anakephaliao. In the simplest sense, it speaks of bringing or gathering together many components, all the warring factions, all the warring elements of this world, devastated by sin, filled with animosity and hostility because of sin, divided and separated because of sin. God is going to bring together all the many components into a unity under one person's jurisdiction, and that person is Jesus Christ. Actually, when you take that word, anakephalia, let me give you a word study for just a moment. I don't want to bore you, but I want to give you a word study just for a moment. So you understand what Paul is saying. Gather together in one. Actually, there are three ideas present in that word. Anakephaliao, gather together in one. There are three ideas. One is the idea of restoration. It comes from ana, the little prepositional prefix right at the beginning of the word in Greek. The idea of restoration. Ana carries with it the idea of renewal or of making new again. And the picture is that of a restoration to God's original design and intent. With disobedience and disintegration and decomposition done away with. Paul says that when Jesus Christ is made the center of the universe, there is going to be a restoration of Edenic conditions, and things are going to be as they were originally intended. I tell you, I look forward to that day. There's the idea of restoration. There's also, right in this word, anakephaliao, there's also in this word the idea of oneness. Not only the idea of restoration to original Edenic conditions when Jesus Christ is made the center of the universe, but also the idea of oneness. The word means to sum up in one. Right at the heart of the word, that's what it means, to sum up in one. And that's so critical. In our divided world, the great tragedy of sin is that it always divides. Whenever division comes into a marriage, whenever division comes into a home, whenever division comes into a church, whenever division comes into a culture, you can be sure right at the heart of it is somebody's sin. The great tragedy of sin is that it always divides. It always introduces hostility. It always introduces callousness. The whole world is divided. Sin always destroys oneness.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
No more disunity! In Jesus Christ, all the warring elements, all the warring factions in this world will be gathered together in one.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.